a woman in Somalia, scraping for pearls on the roadside.
There's a force stronger than nature, keeps her will alive.
This is how she's dying. She's dying to survive.
Don't know what she's made of. I would like to be that brave.
She cries to the heavens.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As Mr. Francis announced there, I'm glad to have you and be here with you and another lovely day right here in Hawaii. We got a number of things I'd like to talk about this morning, and again, we're going to travel back to the Big Island of Hawaii and talk about the dairy, but primarily this first part of the topic will be lungworm disease. And there's some concerns that while we haven't identified the species of slugs that's there, this community at O'Okala we've talked about is seeing a large number of snails or slugs that they're concerned with being the lungworm transporter or host. So I've invited a number of the community members to call and share with us some of their stories and their experience and what they feel or believe that there has been an increase since an incident of a flood from the dairy. We can't say emphatically, we haven't gotten all of the information that's available to say that, but they, some of the community members claim that there is an uptick or a surge in the number of the population and frequency of these slugs that they are not familiar with. So let's see if I think we have one. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Is this Linda? Melinda?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, thank you for calling. And you're calling from O'Okala, and you live there, and we met you through the effort of Friends of Maha'ulepu in the effort of joining hands with the community there at O'Okala with Val Poindexter, councilwoman.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about what you've noticed and what your concerns are, if you would, Linda.
Well, my concerns is actually when it really rains and there's no cleanliness of the water runoff.
Mm-hmm.
If they're plugged, they get overflowed and they come into our properties.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of dirt, mud, and ever since that kind of storm that comes down when it rains from above where the dairy is, I've noticed a lot of slugs.
Mm-hmm.
And unfamiliar slugs that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning, every night, they come out. And every morning I pick them up, not knowing what they really are because they don't have no shell on them.
Right.
So I try to destroy them, but there's so many of them. So I've read an article in the paper that if you see an unidentified snail to call this number, so which I did. So they came by three people came by, and they, how you say, they go from district to district to collect these so-called snails that don't have any shell on them. And they have, supposed to have been tested, but I've never heard back from them.
And when did this happen? There's two things I want to ask them. When did this runoff of the storm? You had an event where the community was impacted, inundated with fecal matter or sludge and what have you from upslope of the dairy and cow manure and waters and all the muds and all. What? When was that?
Oh, I don't know the actual date, but it's been about a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the actual date.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's dry, being a dry season right now, and no water or rain. I don't see the slugs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one or two, and they do come into my shower area where, you know, plantation house, they're not very secured. You know?
Right.
They tend to come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I kill them, and they crawl all on the walls, which my house is white, so they leave a lot of doodle marks all on the wall.
And also, what the snail slime as well?
Yes, the film. Mm-hmm. They go. I have clothes hanging out in the back, and you can see where they're crawling on the clothing.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't heard back from the entity that came by and took samples and took photographs or anything? You've heard nothing back from them?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. But they say it takes up a couple of weeks, but it's been weeks already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
And you're seeing, what, 100, thousands, or what? How would you describe?
I've seen by the hundreds. I've collected by the hundreds and hundreds of them. I kill them off with Clorox, and I ditch them outside my fence yard.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as it was really damp, which was very, very damp at those times of the runoff of the dairy,
mm-hmm.
that it was steady coming to the yard,
Mm-hmm.
Now I see very less because it's like a dry season and hasn't been rained. But if it rains, I'm sure they're going to come back. Because right now, I think they're all in the shady area, hiding until the rain comes back.
Now, we will be accused of playing loose with the facts here and all. But so what we'll do is describe the best we can what you have physically and personally experienced. And that is, this number of slugs, and the high frequency of them, you just started noticing them when, roughly?
When the first storm came out,
mm-hmm.
and it came all into my yard, the debris, because they had a plug into the culvert.
Mm-hmm.
So when the overflow came, it came all into my yard. That was the first flood. Didn't notice anything then. Then came the next one. Then I noticed a lot of slugs came in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a rainy season, I guess. And it comes from above because water always has to flow downward. And the mud debris all into my yard, that's the only reason I think that where the slugs are coming from, because I've never recognized them before.
Right. And you lived in, you've owned this home for how long?
Over 30 years.
And so just recently, after a 30-year period, you recently started to see this uptick of the high number of...
Yes.
The first time you've seen them, I would take it, you had not seen any other shellless or semi-shellless snails?
Not this particular type. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot of slugs, like the black one, or maybe the little thicker,
right.
thicker one.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the regular shell slugs.
The Africana.
Not very much of that, yeah.
The big shell, the Africanus type.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because they like to live on papaya trees and stuff.
Right. But no other...
No other slugs. I've seen these ones here. Never seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
First time I encounter these ones.
Now, did they... The people that came to visit you and collect samples, did they give you any advice as to how to avoid them, don't pick them up or touch them or... What happened with bare hands or anything?
Yes, they told me not to do that. So that's why I usually rake them into this dustpan of mine that I have. But at times, you know, I just tap them with my slippers because I'm tired of picking them up.
And even stepping on the slippers, folks, you're really not killing them off, because it's the worm is of concern that is that the snail is playing host to. And this worm finds its way in humans or to other species. It can go through the dogs or the cats, but it goes into humans, as I've read in some of the journals and medical journals, JAMA, was that the mucus or the slime is a way of transmitting as well. So we can find it on our plants. We can, and the difficulty is that they're so small, and when they're young, so you can't wash them all off possibly, and then you ingest one, or the cats come along, or dogs come along, and ingest, or lick their paw. That's how it could become infected or infested with the, and it goes to the brain. And one of the funniest things about it is that, curious is that it causes, or meningitis of some type. And so, did they advise you of that when you were talking with them, the people that visited you?
Yeah, they advised me on the symptoms of it when you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they wanted to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
So where they were going to district, I wasn't the only one. Ocala wasn't the only district that they went and took samples.
Mm-hmm.
But they said it would have been in the newspaper of the areas that they found these snails, but apparently I don't take paper anymore, so I haven't seen anything or heard anything from anybody else.
And so many of the listeners listening, so they will understand, while we can't say with certainty, and we're not going to cross that line and say that the dairy is contributing, but what is happening is that there's a practice up there that we've understood and discovered through state records, state reports, and investigations, compliance reports, is that much of the water from the dairy is being somehow finding its way into the gulch. And they are also, and many of it runoff, and then they've had the storm. And also, they are on a daily basis, possibly or practically, they are spraying the manure and the water,
recycled water,
over the fields where they're claiming they're using it for the crops. And then we've talked to some people that indicate that they also dump much of the manure from certain areas into the actual crop area. And so that potentially came down and created a perfect habitat for the snails.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the dairy introduced them, but it seems that these activities, and you've been there 30 years and not seen or observed any of these animals before, and especially in this large number.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Well, you know, I know Mother Nature comes around sometime and do a lot of farms and stuff, but when you live downhill, everything flows downward. So I guess, you know, things happen. But there are preventive precautions that you can take if, you know, if you own a dairy or a farm or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And
the culverts are all clean and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are your concerns now? You know you have them. What practices have you? Have you started to wash more carefully the veggies?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, my vegetables, I always look in between them, wash them carefully, and you know, double wash them at times. And then I notice if there's any slime on them, I throw them away. I won't even bother washing them.
Mm-hmm.
I see any tracks of slime.
Because the slime, again, is the vehicle of sort carries it, and you can ingest it by either, and it's a tacky substance, so clearly it can present a big health problem. Anybody reported sick? I know there's some members of the community reporting illness and some are very sick. And in,
yes,
and
I've heard about that one.
And reading the Hawaii Journal of Medicine, some of the people that I've spoken to recently there in Ōkala talk about colds and what have you. There is some symptoms that this journal talks about, and many of the people there, and it's just Clostridium difficile. For example, the case was complicated. This is talking about a specific incident on the Big Island.
Yeah.
The case was complicated by secondary infection of methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus and Clostridium difficile, CD, and pneumonia, which resulted in the thoracoscopy. I only have half of the page here, so... decortication. Now, they throw many medicines at them. So I'm aware of one person telling me her aunt is some of the specific claims of Clostridium difficile, CD, C. diff.
Oh.
And then we've also learned, and clearly we don't name people because out of respect for families and the medical, but we've also learned in this process that a young lady did die from meningitis in the recent past there in Ōkala.
Yes, I've heard about that one.
Now, what then do you think the state or the health department should have been more aggressive rather than sending someone over to identify the snail, but did they initiate a campaign or informing the public or that community to be mindful and some precautions that they could take?
They could have been more aware and more, how you say, make the community more aware of mm-hmm. what's out here, you
mm-hmm.
know, knowing that the red lung disease exists mm-hmm. all over. So they need to come to the community if they have any suspicion of any activity with the snail.
Especially, this is ground zero, apparently, where the center of it, apparently, because in radiating out. And I've spoken to, consistent with what you're saying, a number of the community members are saying they only noticed this species or this snail, the large numbers, or the species after the dairy has arrived. Now, again, that's not my statement. That's the public statement that live there.
Yeah.
And we see now the way the health department has been behaving up there. It invites this kind of problem. And it leaves the dairy people exposed. Maybe it has nothing to do with the slugs. But
yeah,
the state...
Yeah, we're trying to pinpoint, yeah.
Right. And the state should have...
The state to go and investigate.
Right. But instead, they just leave it hanging, and so it's a community pitted against the dairy, and the dairy is having to explain, and then the allegations or the supposition. And so that's just wrong. But the bigger issue here is that people have died, are sickened, and it's consistent with all of the nightmarish things that are associated with this slug. And no campaign and no education effort on the part of the state.
Exactly. So we need some kind of reassurance living here all these years and experiencing all these new things that are coming out.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else you have to share with us on this subject or the dairy? You are quite vocal and have shared with the public openly.
Yeah. Well, openly, the dairy has a lot of how you say, air pollution. If you live here, and there's a, in fact, very early this morning, you could smell the smell of the dairy, which is very, very strong, very urine strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we experience it sometime every night.
Mm-hmm.
More so when they they spray with the recycled water that they use up there.
Mm-hmm. And that recycled water is actually comes in contact with the cow manure, contains cow manure. And so it's a practice that should be reviewed by the state. And this practice seemed to be, especially how they're introducing it in an aerosol form fashion by spraying it with this huge cannon, that puts it in the air, deposited, the wind drifts. And these animals, or the slugs, love that because they can eat detritus. They thrive in detritus.
It's a food for them.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the smell here is so horrendous, and we're not very airtight here in the house, so we just have to smell it. It smells horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for joining me and Linda Medalia from Ocala. I appreciate it. If you have any other comment, go ahead, and if not, I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, Mr. Cox. Thank you.
Thank you.
Time.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, I've been accused of one trying to warm my way into your hearts. But this one here is something, it's nightmarishly frightening. This, again, and let me clarify something. You hear me talk about the state and this, how lame it is and inefficient and ineffective and corrupt and all. At some point, something's going to break. And that breakage can be gauged by the community, the health of the community, the wealth of the community, the environment, and the things that people's lives are turned upside down. And when people are dying and getting deathly ill with illnesses that you read any journal and it says A, B, C, D, E, F, G, this is the things and the symptoms and what have you. And then you look and you see these same conditions or elements are presenting themselves or present openly, and no aggressive behavior on the part of the state health department, no aggressive behavior on the part of the agriculture department to simply conduct tests and studies and surveys and whatever is needed at the ground level to determine, to rule out or to rule in this kind of behavior. Instead, now, what can you imagine? You're a healthy person, young, vibrant person, and then you end up getting sick with something that possibly could have been avoided if we had an aggressive and honest, meaningful effort on the part of our state agencies. And it's about time to call in. You know, they say, well, what are we going to do? We get the governor to shut the dairy down or get him to come into compliance. Are we not tired of receiving the brunt of every failure there is, and the only result is that we then have to go back in a fancy foot dance and approach the governor, the legislators, and all of those people that are supposed to be on top of these things? We have ag committees in the legislature. We have county ag commissions and commissioners. We have the agriculture department. We have the agriculture department in the state and the feds, and we have the health department. And we have the vector control. And yet, it seems that each time a problem presents itself and becomes more obvious to all of us other than just the agency personnel, then instead of, you would think we would be able to, should be able to pick up the phone and call your local county ag agent, and then he alerts everyone else, and in turn they convene and have a plan. But I guess that plan is a little difficult if you got an agricultural commissioner and a director and a committee, a commission that is, we are for agriculture, and good, because we all eat, so we do need agriculture and well-managed and what have you. But when this starts to eat the good things in life and threatens life of humans and the environment, something's wrong. And we look at this 2014 inspection report conducted by the State Health Department. They found the water running down. They documented it. There's many, many violations that were to be observed. And nothing came of it. Nothing. Then they go back in 2016 of December. And instead of going to the area that they had already documented and know, you would think they would have gone there first to see if the, if anything was the practice still at hand and being committed. And if so, deal with that and then go look at the other newer sites. But they purposely and with intent, they being the State Health Department, went and looked at another site on the same farm and did not take the necessary steps to review to see if they've complied with the recommendations or fixed the findings or the things that were broken there with the state or with the dairy. So what you're witnessing here is probably one of the most serious breach of public trust that one can witness. It's as if we know it's there, but we'll ignore it unless there's some people dying or if there's some major problem. Then we'll beg for federal monies and then we'll get going. And in fact, you never hear them say in this dairy matter at Ocala, you would think if you authorize and you're aware that a 2,000 cow dairy is upslope, uphill, you don't rely on the public to complain. You don't rely on something to go wrong and then you become aware of it. You have a protocol in place that you screen, you monitor, and you go to the site, routine inspections, because there are conditions that are written in permits and what have you, and permits that are needed. And to make sure there's compliance, you don't lend it to self-policing. You just allow the dairy to self-police itself. And so that being the case, up there at Ocala, they're self-policing, as far as I can describe it, the best I can describe it is self-policing. The state openly, and you can go to friendsofmahaulepu.org and you'll see the video of the manager, Brad Duff, at the dairy basically saying, speaking to many points and questions that anybody should know, that things are not in place as they should be, or things are not working properly, or things are not. But instead, he just believed that because the state has been so protective and the state has an interest in this land because it's state land, leased to them or whatever the relationship, we'll be looking into that. But it's a project, basically, a fancy project that touted to be a success, and they're going to encourage and enhance jobs for the locals and what have you. And if you hear that story that some of the locals are telling, you might change your mind and think, what the heck is our state agencies and our federal agencies doing? They are there on site. I understand they're hiring people from out of country. And some of the people there, I've interviewed a couple of the workers, and they describe some conditions as they describe it as horrendous, horrible, horrifying. And so the state health department know that this place is in place and is operating. They know that there are these impacts that could be had or experienced with this dairy. And not just picking on the Big Island dairy, any dairy. If you cite a, for example, there's a place here that we're looking at now. They make fishing lures. Now, you've seen one story about fishing lures and made of lead and weights, and how the city abandoned the facility and that they were going to clean up and all. But we have another one, and it sits next to elementary school, a preschool, a kindergarten-type school, a church, and residence, and it's still operating. You contact the state, and you say, well, what information do you have on this? Oh, we don't know anything about this company. Well, they are registered in the state records as being fishing lures, Clover fishing lures, Clover lures. So why can't you find it? If I can find it, you should be able to find it. So that's just an example. So you would think they would be proactive, they being the state and the feds, and be proactive and knowing that these places exist, and they could take a play from the fire department, for example. The fire department has some standards, not just to protect people's property from burning down or fires that could burn your property down and cause chaos, but the fire department requires, in a proactive fashion, they want to know what's stored at a certain facility. So if you have an industrial site or a business site and you're handling chemicals and what have you, the fire department and each chemical has a safety sheet data, right? In MSD, it's called, and material safety data. And then in that is then when you're handling certain chemicals at that facility, you should, in most instances, file with the fire department in a proactive fashion that allows the fire department to know and review, and then when there is a response to your facility that's on fire, the fire department will be quicker and better and more capable of responding in a positive way because they have been warned and have knowledge ahead of time what's housed in that and what potential threats are there. So why wouldn't the state health department require that? Why wouldn't the agriculture require that? See, we're not suggesting that they reinvent the wheel, they being the state health department. We're saying that they abandon this corrupt, lonely, dead-of-night behavior that only it's about politics and money. And the politics comes, you get a certain senator or a certain legislator who grabs money through his committee and then has his own pet project with his golden parachute, and then you engage in protecting the business that you're encouraging, but you're taking public resources and applying that public resources to build your golden parachute for your friends, and you proclaim this is a success because we're adding to the economy. But then the people on the receiving end, like Ocala, if the case is true, about the slugs, or we know factually that they are now, they being the community at Ocala, have openly and displayed their evidence that look at the water. There's plumes of fecal matter, or BS. You see, I'm not going to use the term BS too much because you might get confused. You don't know. There's real BS and then there's governmental BS. So I'm going to, unless I could, like, paint it and give each one a separate smell, then you'd understand. So I'm avoiding that to keep from confusing you. But there's a lot of bull in this whole process. And when we leave an entire community fending for itself, whether just a simple aspect of having to wake up on a Sunday morning and smelling urine, can you imagine? I mean, did they do something wrong? Or is it Ocala an area where it's an actual sentence rather than an area where people live, a residential? Or is it, did they commit a crime? No. The Constitution of the State of Hawaii says you should enjoy and be afforded clean air, clean water, clean land, It says right in the Constitution. And yet, you get an agency like headed by Scott Enright, who boasts that he is good for building the industry and milk industry. But to be honest with you, when you look step back and look at it, the number of people that are lactose intolerant in the Pacific, well, that's a large portion. So you damn sure not raising much for them. And then I can go, if I don't drink milk, but if I can go to Walmart, Kmart, Target, Costco, and get a cheap gallon of milk. So there's a lot of bull being passed around. I just noticed a caller had called, and just try call back if you can. 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to comment or have a question or comment on what we're talking about. But now, there needs to be a reconfiguration of all of this. This dairy, and we'll go back to Kauai. Hawaii Dairy Farms. Now, the state flubbed that. And it pit people, the public have to create a fight and become enemies with someone and get in a fight financially, when in turn the referee, so to speak, sits back and drink a cold beer and watch it. When the referee is supposed to be out there breaking a sweat to make sure that if you are going to build a dairy, that there are certain rules and there are specific rules, that you adhere to them, and if you're the regulatory body or the referee, then you must do your part. It's not because we created a position of referees because we want to create jobs. If I can pull your coattail, state, health department, governors, legislators, you found these things in place when you got in office. So there must be some logical reason for their being there. They're not there because just to allow you to come in and become creative and create a golden parachute for yourself or your friends and screw the public. That's not why those rules are there. That's why we have the committees to look and assess these impacts and avoid these impacts at all possible turns. But we have drifted so far, we have drifted so far away from the concerns of the environment, concerns of the people, ensuring them a clean environment, that we're driven by this falsehood that we're going to make money. And I've talked to four workers there that in local, and three of them were injured, and they were on the job, and then they returned back, and just subsequently, shortly thereafter, they get fired. Now, this is what's conveyed to me by the workers. But again, you may not see the importance of having a coordination, or coordinated effort on the part, and a sincere effort. None of this political heebie-jeebie going to make more money for Shebe. None of that. No. This is a matter of life and death. Now, I can't tell you the young lady died in Ocala because her meningitis came from the slugs. I can't tell you that. I can't claim that. But I damn sure can tell you that the state didn't bother to go over there to do a thorough investigation and do a forensics and completely delve into it and then delve into the efforts and the presence of the manure being sprayed and what have you. What did they do? They went over there. They sent their finest writer who is able to articulate something that's broken and make it look like it's just a fragment. But it's broken completely. And to proclaim in public settings, in public meetings, a meeting where people sought answers, specific answers to a specific problem, and the Pardee shrugs his shoulders. This is Matt Carano, the inspector, enforcer. He has to shrug his shoulders and say, well, we don't have the money and we don't have the people. Then really you shouldn't be allowing any massive dairy operations or any type of operation if you don't have the money and you don't have the manpower. So it lends itself to one or two things. Either you're going to try your darnest with what you have and spend carefully and try to milk and get the best enforcement effort you can. You're going to either do that, or you're going to throw up your hands, close the gate, and tell those people, go ahead and operate, and I'll hold them at bay over here, and I'll lie to them, and I'll misrepresent to them, and I'll hide documents for you, and we won't do anything. That's what we have in this state of Hawaii, the state, this beautiful place. Is it corruption? I can't tell you what it is, because it has morphed in something that each occasion it presents itself. It looks, one day you look at it, it has two heads, and the next day it has 18 heads, and the next day you have 36 heads, and then when you talk to them, you realize that the head has no body. Then you're told, well, you need to go and see the Attorney General and ask them, because they told us, well, wait, hold it. You signed a statement here saying everything was okay and it just appeared or has the potential. Why do I have to ask the Attorney General to interpret you, the one who wrote it? Folks, it's not cover-up. It's the new age government employee, the new age corporatized government employee who has learned, who is honest and willing to fight and do the right thing, but he is told or she is told how to articulate and write certain documents. Don't lie, but just say it has the appearance or the potential of something. Well, how about erring on the side of it has the potential and it of impacting people's lives and sickening them and degrading the environment and impacting the marine life and the fish and what have you, the both flora and fauna of this state. And what you do is, the danger here is that many of you probably sitting and listening to me go, boy, those people over there in the big island, they have a problem. They, you know, they're really getting it. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. You see, because of the nature and the clandestine, corrupt fashion that the state agriculture department operates in, and the fashion in which the state health department operate in, they have parallel lines, but they never reach over and intersect one another. You call them up and tell them you got snails crawling up your kitchen wall. And, well, that's not our problem. That's a Vector problem. You need to call Vector, okay? And you call Vector and you learn that they got one agent for the whole state. Oh, my. That's kind of funny. But they tell us if we have problems in their committee meetings and when they're going to declare that something is safe to import here in the state and it's not a problem, they say, oh, we'll have monitors, like our inspectors, to monitor it. And then you learn they have a monitor and all that he or she can do is go to the office and open the door and lock it because she ain't got gas money, ain't got any support studying, don't even have the safety clothing to go to these facilities and these sites. So, as harsh it may seem, it's a reality. The way I speak, my tone, you might think I'm being very disrespectful. No, I haven't even begun to tell you how corrupt and with purpose and intent that the state behaves. From our legislators right down to the bottom line of the director and to the state agencies. right down to the city agencies. So the bad news is you have a problem here. You see, the state agriculture, you would think with this grand development and the revelation that we have snails or slugs that are posing great risk to the health, and not to mention the plants that they can consume and how what they can do in other diseases. But what you have here is that you have transportation of vegetables and fruits from island to island. The Big Island is an area now, a reservoir of this critter, the slug. Now, you would think there would be a heightened alert and a limit on the amount or stricter rules on transporting fruits and vegetables with a greater protocol. More stringent rules. Have you heard anything? All they tell you is that another one bites the dust. Another couple got sick from eating it. Another person got sick. And that's their way of managing. When in fact, the Scott Enrights, if he wasn't so busy trying to promote dairy farms, he would put some time in understanding that when he chairs a committee, they need to go and set stricter rules and protocol on the transport of these and try to contain and send out people to monitor and be responsive in a timely fashion. Imagine Miss Medalia being visited by someone and say, oh, wow, we'll take some samples and go back and look at them, and it don't take 10 years to identify a species. You can do it right there, kid, right there in this field. But when you see her tell you that there's thousands, and I hadn't seen any in the past couple of years or since I've lived here, all of a sudden there's this increase, you wouldn't think that you would just leave Miss Medalia and the other community members hanging, waiting nervously. Now you've introduced some fear in their heart by just your visit. Now they're waiting. Should we do this? Should we do that? Am I going to get sick? You understand? So when you add all of these things up and you put them on the table and you quantify them, you can only, unless you're just completely, completely a business-minded person, you can only conclude that this is a corrupt effort called government. We deserve better. I mean, we pay these guys. I mean, at a minimum, if they don't have the manpower to go and inspect these facilities and monitor and regulate them, whatever reports they write, it should be written in an honest fashion. You don't need money to be honest about something. You don't need money to avoid being in articulating in a fashion that, oh, it's potentially entering the waters of the state. You have the ability to know that there's freeboard is necessary, then there should be, you can look at it, the conditions of the permit that say specifically what you can do to avoid spillaging or run over and overflow into the streams and what have you. But see, it becomes more difficult and pushes me to the point of concluding that it's corruption. It's lying, stealing, and cheating on the part of businesses and what have you. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions. Hello? You there? Hello? Sorry, someone's, if you're trying to call, give a call back. I can hear you in the background, but there's a problem. And we're coming down in the last couple of minutes, but if you want to call back in the next half, we will have more of this discussion. But regarding that report, so if you don't have the money for the manpower, whatever you do, if you just got in the car and drove by and you didn't roll your windows down and you were given a complaint and that it was smelling and it was running in the waters. And you drive by and you don't get out of the car because, first of all, you're not going to go up the road because there's a practice here where before we go and do an inspection, we call the party that we're inspecting to let them know that we're not going to do a surprise inspection on them. And I was told in interviewing some people that in some businesses when they know they're going to be inspected, they're told, take a three-hour lunch and hide the equipment. So these things, you know, when we go to chase this dollar and we get the in-rights who don't want to do right because he's motivated, and he lives in this community, folks. He lives in the community. It's not like it's some outpost on Mars. Scott Enright lives in Ocala, right below the dairy, and his community was impacted by the flood that came through there. But leave it to him to publicly state, well, we are the landlord, and they're our tenants, and we'll hold their feet to the fire, but we'll fund, put money out there to fund the state health department to do the inspections. Well, damn it, why didn't you just pay some money to have somebody identify the slugs and identify and do a survey of that community to determine and quantify the potential threats and then educate the people about the consumption and the carefulness that they need to incorporate in the gathering of their foods and leafy vegetables and fruits to avoid ingesting the slime from these slugs. Real simple. But if you just operated in slime and you're in a government seat where you have the authority to do things, you can't discern which is the good slime or the bad slime. So we'll be back in the next hour. And caller, thank you for holding on, but we got to take a break and we'll be back. Call back 524-1080 if you'd like to have a conversation.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
From the LP, Sugar! Sugar Man! Stanley Turpin! Big round of applause! Hey! Thank you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Just want to share with you, I'll be doing a show now on Hawaii ThinkTech. You can go to hawaiithinktech.org, and I'll be airing on Tuesdays live at 12 o'clock, and we'll be talking about advocating for Hawaii. That will be the title of the show, but it's the same old bro. We're going to take that and just try to make available more information, because while much of the media does a good job, I know contrary to what many of you think, but we need a little more. And I've described to you how they corporatize, they being government, by hiring these ex-news reporters to be guard dogs at the gate and fend off. And it's so sad, because you work with some of these reporters, and man, they turn ferocious when they get that little government honey. But I guess that's what you do. You know, I don't know what, I've never been motivated where I would take on a job and then be the public trusting of me. And then in turn, I turn on them and become, just the nature of that is very questionable. But that's something they got to deal with their internal organs and offices or whatever. But I wanted to share with you in that vein, today's paper, there's a discussion about something that we've quite often and done a couple of shows on in the past years, or in years, I would say, where we warn that privatization of government work is crippling America and robbing you, the American citizen, of a right to know, a right to experience clean environments and all of that, and transparency. By inserting private companies, the government then abandons you and abandons the responsibility and abandons your constitutional rights, or just put them on the shelf. They don't even have to deal with them, because the private contractor can simply declare that we're under contract, and the agreement is that we can't disclose it until the state or the city or the federal government give us approval. You call the federal government or the state or the city who hired those people, and they'll tell you, well, we can't do it because we're waiting on our contractor to get the money back or get the reports back. Folks, we're in a pickle. And every day, don't worry about the Russians and whomever we describe as or told as our enemy. Our own worst enemy is the people that we elect, because they implement these practices and incorporate them and rely on them in their daily existence. They'll tell you a lie quicker than they'll tell you happy birthday. But let me just tell you, my thinking is that, and I don't know if it's acceptable or plausible, but we need a body, being that we're going toward this privatization, and being that we're going to, for example, the Agricultural Development Corporation. Now, that in itself is a quasi-state agency created by state government, authorizing it. So in other words, the Agriculture Department is scrutinized to some degree, and there's a chance of people knowing what they're doing if they just stay the Agriculture Department. But what happens is that some of these guys that have ruined everything anyway and just made their monies in millions and gotten their friends good jobs and what have you, and Lexus and Aloha shirts and penny loafers, they're doing great. But why do we need an agricultural development corporation to go and manage land and acquire land and then turn around and rent it back to someone to run a dairy, let's say? Why couldn't the Agriculture Department do that? Why couldn't the DLNR do land division? Why could, you know, because by taking it under the Agriculture Development Corporation, you have these old guys that have sat around there and then screwed up everything anyway when they worked and headed the state agencies, but they found their way in the back door and created an Agriculture Development Corporation. So we're now handing them money. They go to the legislators and justify millions. And then you have to listen to the director of that conglomerate to come back and say, well, we're the landowner, and if they're violating the law, they're our tenants, we'll take the blame. What do you mean? We'll take the blame. The public owns the land. You're the Agriculture Development Corporation, the Agriculture Department head. When do you adopt on behalf of the public the responsibility for people violating the law? It's an immunization that really causes concerns. Caller, thank you for calling. Your comments or question?
Good morning, Mr. Carol Cox.
Good morning.
These policy makers, is that Agriculture Committee you mentioned, that who's that organization? You said the State Department of Agriculture?
Well, State Department of Agriculture is one entity. The Agriculture Development Corporation is another, which composed of many of the former directors of that agency, is now heading or members, board members of the ADC.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they include people from Sierra Club or maybe students from the University of Hawaii who are in agriculture, and specifically citizens from that community where they will have a development, then they will have a more clear, holistic picture when they make some kind of development, not only in agriculture, any development occurring in Hawaii, include the Sierra Club or whatever environmental organizations they are, students from the University of Hawaii, specific in that field of endeavor, as well as citizens in from that community, whenever they want to develop, make any kind of development. Why don't they include? Are they already included in these policy making committees? Such people.
When you said the Sierra Club and those entities.
Well, Sierra Club.
Keep in mind.
Students from the University of Hawaii.
Right.
Specific to that kind of nature of development.
Well,
and citizens from that community.
Well,
why can't they include all these people?
Okay.
The government officials. I'll take it off the radio. I'll take it on the radio.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's first start by acknowledging that this is contrived. So when you manufacture something and fashion it in this way, you strip away resources that should be going to the Agriculture Department and housed under there, so that when a person does something, he's held accountable by the rules of the state constitution and the Hawaii Revised Statute. So if you're stealing or cohorting with your friends and giving something, but if you go in and see someone shoveling money in the bag and saying, well, we're going to go over here and we'll manage it as this team, then that calls into question, what about the transparency? What about the accountability? Who's accountable for it? How are they accountable for it? How does the public get to say? What say does the public have in this matter? And that is probably had a mic, had this last week too, but anyway. But this is the reality. Shaping and shaving away some of this money, steering it away. And you don't see them build. You take, for example, the Whitmore. They are saying they're giving away land, are going to encourage agricultural development. But it's held under just a few people. It's not flourishing as if it as it was represented. Not at all. So what happens is that this ADC, we need a body. People from UH, nonprofit organization, usually if they put them in those positions, what happens is that they'll give them the ability to sit on the committee, but they won't give them a voting right on the committees. But that's then dignifying this process that's meant only, this ADC is meant only to, I'm hearing now that up there in Whitmore, that they're wanting to take, they, and I don't know the to be factual, but I can tell you what I do see with the ADC, and what concerns me, and we've spoken to this, is that they will acquire land that is contaminated, like Dole had contaminated land. They are a quasi-state agency, the ADC, so they buy the land. Dole doesn't have to clean it up. The public has the land contaminated. We'll pay to clean it up. Or somebody with fancy pants will go and say, well, you know, look, just put some blackfalt asphalt over it, and we'll restrict the type of use and activities that it could only have because it does not migrate higher than 6 inches in the soil. So, and then, well, get on the phone and call our co-conspirators. And who might they be? Oh, the health department. The health department comes over and give a lane program of progress and a project outline to say, we concur that the EALs are not exceeded, and so all we have to do is we agree with you. If you pay to put the pavement over this dirt area that's contaminated, that was sufficient, but no digging and what have you. Hey, isn't that pretty cool? But you see this more times than many. I can take you to 926 or 25 Dillingham, same thing. Many places where the city has the property is owned by someone else privately, but the city has purchased it or rented it with right to buy it, the Kapalama Satellite Hall. That's sitting on contaminated soil. And there's much more contaminated soil in there. But anyway. But for the agriculture department, you see, they have a list of things that can come in and that they give the approval. The commission, agricultural commission, dictate what can come in and what can't come in. And so this is what they rely on. Honestly, when you bring a snake to the states of Hawaii and it's in a bag, you can walk off the plane with your snake. And you have a box that you could, if you have want to be in, have an honest streak in you before you walk through that, you can put it in the amnesty box. You fill out the papers, and do they even know if anybody don't fill out the papers? They don't care. It's just going through the motion to simply grease the skids. There's no real protection. No real protection. So, backing up to this, we need a body to regulate. If we incline to continue on this path of privatization, quasi-privatization, creating agriculture development corporations within government, then we need to have a police of sort holding the people accountable, like the Enrights. who believe that, hey, I was taken aback by his outburst. I call it an outburst because clearly it wasn't logically thought up and processed before he uttered those words, that he was the landlord and these were the dairy was his tenants. And if there's anything wrong, we'll basically vouch for it or take care of it and all. And just hearing that is enough to just ask you, how did he even get the job, first of all? And then if he's thinking like that and then expresses himself publicly and is overt about it, then that tells you the state of affairs is that these good old boys have taken over and they speak with no concerns of consequences. And then we see projects that if you're going to guarantee on behalf of your tenant, then you should immediately take money out of your ADC, corporation development, and set it aside in a fund. Emergency or environmental or some kind of fund that the health department, knowing that it's overtaxed, underfunded, undertrained, unskilled, and set that money so that the director of that agency can authorize it and tap into that money when we find, instead of waiting until the public starts to boil over and express themselves of concerns that these projects or these agricultural projects that they are supporting is detrimental or causing harm to the community and to the environment. But who's going to quantify that when you have, how is that going to happen when you have a health department knowingly lies and write reports and falsifies them and fix them in a fashion that talk about one but not the other. You see, that inspection report, in my opinion, in the 2014 inspection report, should have been posted on the state health department's public relations site or where they put their press releases. Because it is critical, and the impacts that are put, that it presents or represents, the negative impacts on that community and on the environment, should have been open and stated and quantified long time ago. But when you have, we'll call them sister agencies, and I can tell you, I've deduced that and concluded, because of the climate here that is so poorly managed and that the tail is wagging the dog in most instances and when it comes to legislative process and fundings and what have you, all you have to do is be a good old boy and know how to snicker and rattle your quarters around in your pocket. That's all you have to do. And you can be the leader of the pack. You can get as creative as you wish. You can bring in farmers who have nothing to do with Hawaii, who has nothing to do with anything, and walk over hundreds of small farmers and not enhance their ability to farm a variety of crops to give choice to many foods rather than multi-crops or single crops, unicrops, whatever. One crop just grows all tomatoes. Well, what does that do for the people that want to eat lemongrass, mint, basil, all of those things? So putting all of our money in one bucket, so to speak, of milk is wrong. And as long, unless I understand the governor is going to try and fix it, I think there should be a revisit and an assessment made. Just take the Ōkala. Just take the Kauai dairy. There are strict standards. These standards should be operated, and that's how one gauged their success in operating. If it's compatible, if it's obnoxious, you can tell all of those things if you were to follow the rules. Now, I'm concerned in unconfirmed reports that in some of these instances, the chemical containers and bottles and pesticides and some of them were set afire to dispose of them on the dairy. Now, we're going to try and ask the state health department, but we noticed that the Clean Air Branch is nowhere to be found in this situation. Can you imagine that? If you look now and at these reports, now the people talk about the stench, the people talk about the water migrating after it's being sprayed in the form of an aerosoling, and drifting. Now, and smells, strong odors of ammonia or urine and fecal matter. Clean Air? But you don't see a report from Clean Air. You don't see Clean Air Branch coming to the meetings to educate the public. Yes, we've come up here, and yes, we see the fugitive dust from the fields. We see the manure flying in the air. We've taken samples, and you don't see that. Because if they did, then that would put Scott Enright's pet project on a tailspin. So if they don't go, there's no record to show what's broken. Now, I might be coming across as beating a dead horse, pardon the pun, but let me just tell you something. If you're not worried, that means you're not informed. If you're informed, you'll be worried. Because, as I've shared with you before, this snail problem, it'll be on our doorsteps, and it probably is. I give you a laundry list of, and I hate doing this sometimes, but so that you'll understand and be able to discern whether I'm just a radical fool, an idiot, or someone that's just sitting here spewing, mad at the world, I'm going to, again, for you newcomers, offer you some information that you can appreciate, then you'll understand where my fire comes from. And it's not anger. It's not being irrational. It's someone that's informed, that's me, who've seen this thing broken. And I'll start out by telling you, for those of you that have heard this before, I apologize. For those of you who haven't, listen up. We had an outbreak some years back of salmonella, and the state health department knew that the salmonella outbreak, and they knew that the fish was coming from our big food chain stores. Nothing was done. They were quietly working with the food chains, but hadn't told the public anything, nothing. Someone leaked me documents that clearly showed that Safeway, Foodland, and others were actually named in those state documents. I contacted the state, and they then said, no, that's not true. But then I offered some of the specifics, and they said, okay, so what? We're not going to say anything. We don't have any comments right now. So 32 people at that time were sickened, still yet to make the news, until we then went to the news station and on this show and laid it out and did some protests and what have you, sign holding and waving. And we warned them that if you were to look at the federal import list, you will see why we should be really concerned, because these shipments that come in from many countries are determined to be tainted with filth, chemicals, poisons, salmonella, hepatitis. You can read those reports. They reject those reports. They reject those shipments. Those shipments find their way back at another port. You would think I had a stick in my forehead, and it was the ugliest thing. And they wouldn't even talk to me, they being the state health department. I go and I do investigations based on and research based on reports from you, like you in the community, who tell me there's major contaminants being dumped. And then I take those people, that the witnesses, and take them by the hand to the state health department, and they conduct interviews, and the person writes down formal statements, and they do nothing. Nothing. The state health department, and they, you know, you got the health department branch, you have the human health, and then you have the environmental health and what have you. But it's all a game. In order for the media to get a question answered, you have to call the public relations person. Yeah. It's a courtesy that they extend to one another. We just go, you, the day of getting a worker to come in and say, this is what I know, this is what I saw, and this is a fax. And yes, you can't do that anymore. They have to go through the corporatized diversion of talking to the public relations, they being the media. And there's no law to say you have to, but it's just that that's the courtesy that they've started to extend to one another. So guess who do not get public relations or get press releases? And after even begging and writing letters to say, put me on the list, let me know. And to be honest with you, there isn't much that I would feel lazy and like I failed you, the public, if I relied on their press releases. There's so much joy in coming out and working with people like yourself, the listeners out there, who know firsthand, who have the pictures, who know the names, who saw the activity, and working from that standpoint rather than being fed pablum by the public relations person. And so at the end of the day, the story you get is half cooked, half baked, and half a lie. As they say in Guam, half a day. Well, half a lie here. Is you case in point, the director of the environmental department for the city. Remember that? She initially said, senior citizens, you come up with the image of they got the house coat on and curls in hair and fuzzy bunny slippers out lifting manholes up so that water can drain off their property and drain down. That's the lie she told. That's the representation. And said 100,000 gallons. And then they later come out, through the help of the state health department, 500,000 gallons, and I can tell you that's a lie too. But that is just a few of the instances firsthand, you see, or posting my picture up in every city building to alert workers that this is what I look for. It looked like, if you see this man, call the office. And unfortunately, we had a death of a young man out at the H Power Plant. The H Power Plant is owned by the city. Contract work conducted by its operation done by Covanta, or Honolulu Resource Recovery. Now, you don't know that there were only one boiler working, I'm told, the day of this incident. Trash is stacked up higher than it is allowed to. That is what some of the workers report. And so this dozer that was being driven up, trash starts to slide, the individual panics, hops out, rolls over. What if the state health department was holding the city's feet to the fire, who would hold Covanta's feet to the fire if this is the case? and make sure that they don't exceed the amount of trash that is held at that facility on the tipping floor. I don't know these to be pure facts, but what I can tell you, I've inquired and didn't have a chance to look at the solid waste permit, but I'm sure as all get up that there were rules and specifics as to what volume. And that the billions of dollars that we spent and these boilers are down, for what reason? And like I pointed out to you, they said they weren't going to take any recently. It's all connected now. They weren't going to take any more combustibles or materials that could be burned at the landfill from you, the citizen, you and me. So if we had combustibles, we needed to take them to the convenience centers, and then therefore we could they would then trailer them to the H-Power and burn them, because that's more efficient and it generates more electricity, and that would allow them to keep the combustibles from being buried in the landfill. Well, what's wrong with that picture? Well, number one, if you only got one boiler working and the volume of trash that is introduced daily to the H-Power is going to exceed its carrying capacity or its holding capacity, so guess where you got to take this? So for many days, and still yet possibly, they were dumping. I got tractor trailer after tractor trailer, private, and also, you remember the bulky item that you were going to be charged for so much per cubic yard? And that was going to be done because you want to be more efficient and burn it at H-Power? They even dumped the bulky item trucks at the landfill. So I offer that to just, and that's just the scab of what I'm talking about, offering you some information to share with you that this is why I don't trust these things, and this is why it sounds like I'm angry. I'm not angry. I got so many pleasant things in my life. But when it comes to this, when an organism starts to take over and corrupts our way of life, and when it can be peaceful and holistic and healthy, and for some reason we don't get to enjoy that, we don't get to benefit from that because we got all of these critters that have woven their ways into government with these fancy ideas, but it all comes back, no matter how fancy the protocol, the process that they are presenting, no matter how elaborate it is, it all boils down to they are only going to do it if they can get your money. So a guy can come and say, I have a bottle of liquid here that if I sprayed on trash, it would dissolve it and it'll get rid of your problems. It's going to cost us. It's going to be our money. It's not their money. But if a guy comes in with that chemical and he can do that, whether it be plasma arc, whether it be liquefaction and all of that, it's still about you, the taxpayers, and your money. So somebody got to orchestrate a big lie, you see. And the health department, remember they were under the consent decree for Save Our Bays and Beaches and Surf Riders and sued them, and Earth Justice and what have you sued on behalf of others because of the sewer problems. There's a consent decree. How is it that they just announced another consent decree? And how is it that it took so long? And how is it that the contents of the consent decree simply says they got to do what they have to do anyway, just in general operation? So I'm here to tell you that we are basically left to our own to defend ourselves, whether it be environmentally, financially, don't even talk about the rail. But you go back to the agriculture department and you say to them, okay, if you insist on doing this, just then take a portion of your $20 million, $30 million, whatever you got from the legislators that gave you the money and really no checks and balances, no nothing. The happiest guy on the planet right now in Hawaii is, what's his name? He was city council. I'll think of it in a bit. But he's the happiest guy because he's a senator now. And he gets to play with the big boys. Donovan De La Cruz. Quite nervous, but he's running with the big dogs now, you see. And they're creating these agricultural development corporation plans and schemes and where they buy land. And then you go back and you look and you say, wow, that guy was in this administration. This guy was in this administration. This guy was, and how did this guy get all the water? And how did this guy get all the land? And how is it that there are people still struggling to buy or rent portions of land and they can't even get a conversation? So there's some serious flaws in our system, and we are relying on them, and I know that probably we're all tired anyway from the various struggles and the different situations. We're numb, probably, most of us, because you can't pick up the paper without rereading somebody else has screwed us. Someone just did it to us again. We just lost another $20 million. You understand? So, going back to the Agriculture Department, the difficulty, and there is what you call the commission within the Agriculture Department itself can create, has a list of which animals can be brought in, and what have you. And if they find, for example, the tree frog, or the koki. You take that koki, and they knew, for example, which nursery these things were radiating from. And instead of putting a list together and saying, we're going to isolate and prohibit this dairy from shipping out or trading of these species or whatever until they can clearly certify that. But instead they say, the commission said, well, no, we don't want to do that because we'll create a blacklist. And so, therefore, the koki was spread like a wildfire. While the commission, the Agriculture Commission, sat on its haunches debating whether they wanted to, if it would be harmful to a business or a nursery if they were to be put on a list where they could not trade in potted plants. They knew exactly, ground zero, they knew it. They, being the Agriculture Department, did nothing. They just let it unfold. And so now we have billions of koki frogs on the Big Island and other islands, you see. So going back over to the dairy, hopefully this community, as well as the other communities, there's a great danger of accepting these false promises and the representation that we are regulated, and I'm hoping that everybody that's involved, when the new dairy is, they approach the new dairy, that the people that are opposing it don't forget to remind the state health department, look how you behaved in the early stages of this HDF. Not HDF now, but the health department. How can we trust you? How can we come to court and say and represent that we are the regulatory body and we will make sure that this will be okay? This is why we made this exemption or this exception, or why we didn't require stricter standards, because we will be monitoring it. Based on what we know now and the resources that is available or not available, we know that that would be a false misrepresentation. So for the dairy people, I think that an immediate closure on the Big Island should be at hand. A downsizing and a complete evaluation and assessment of the prior and previous violations, if there are any, the environmental impacts, the get the exact, if you folks had heard how they were dancing around the water, the drinking water well there, I was thinking to myself, my God, I would rather be told that we're under attack by the North Koreans or whoever, than to be sitting there going, well, I know that if they're so loose about it and so cavalier and casual about the knowledge and the testing of this water and what they're testing for, once it's in the water, it's over. You've ruined an entire water source, an aquifer. So we have our Red Hill here on Oahu, and they have their hellhole on Ho'okala. And that hellhole is only existing because of the state agriculture department led by one and only Scott Enright, who has a grand luxury of being able to, because he works for the governor. If you work for government, you know that one sister agency can go in and piss and moan to the governor or the head of the matter and say, they're not working with me, and this is going to be your legacy, and they're impacting me, so I need them to back off. And so they back off. And so they drive by. They see the crap flowing and blowing in the wind. They see the brown water running down the stream. And they can only conclude, not because they're lying, but because this is a legacy of the governor. He enhanced the industry. He enhanced the economy. He did good things for the economy. And you don't want that on your shoulders, or you don't want to be responsible as a state employee for writing the right report with accuracy and going back and inspecting it when you got the agriculture director appointed by the governor, who's promising the governor to deliver good things. You find yourself in a rock and between a rock and a hard spot if you were the inspectors. They'll never admit this, but just having worked for the government and knowing human nature and the reach for the public purse and the absence of good scrutiny, good management of the Ho'okala matter, when you live there in that community, this community should never have had to fight for itself. You wake up and put your necktie on or your shirt on to go and carry out the matters of the folks, of the state people, of the population. You cannot ignore the smell, Scott Enright. The smell alone should have told you something was wrong. But I guess the smell of money is better than the smell of urine in this case. And I'm concerned that people don't extend themselves to this degree without, and it's been my experience, without some compensation at the back door. And I hope that's not the case. I don't have any facts or proof. But when you live in a community and you know the reality and you're trying to build something that's, and you know it has flaws, and you continue to build and ignore the people and the health and the environment, it's warranting someone to ask questions. What the heck are you doing? So the Agriculture Development Corporation, which Scott Enright chairs, because he chairs it because he is the chairman of the director of the Agriculture Department. Their primary goal is building business, building business. Department of Health, who is the gatekeeper in this situation, write inadequate reports, ineffective reports, inaccurate reports, and reports that they don't even have the proper gear. You read the reports and they say, well, we were walking around and saw this mud and it was mucky and gooky, and you think you would be able to afford a white suit to protect yourself walking in that, because you know, and this is so painful. They're not just exposing the public there at Ocala to these problems. The open pit of the cows laying there dead, the cow manure willy-nilly spread here, and the water running here and there and sloshing. They, too, stand to be contaminated, can be contaminated during their inspection as they walk through. Did they don on a protective suit? No. E. coli, all kinds of bacteria associated with cow manure and waste. So what prevented them or kept them from being fully donning on full suits and going in and inspecting? Because the people downhill would see that. The workers would see that and ask questions. Why are we down there working without a suit, and we see the inspectors come and they're wearing suits? And then the word gets out downhill down in the village. Very calculating. The health department, in this case, should have gone and talked to the community. When the community is what triggered the response or the complaint that caused them to go there, by the way. And it was only because of the citizen that filed the complaint followed up and said, I'd like to see what you did over there with what happened. Two years later, they get a report. We get a report when we drive down the road and see this thing spraying cow manure and immediately ask the state, what the heck is going on? Didn't know they had a report out, didn't know anything. That matter should not have been happening. So these reports that they wrote were very safely written and done in a fashion that it wouldn't reveal the true nature of things or conditions of things at that dairy and what was observed. And so basically what appears to be a cover-up, I can say that you can attribute most of it to a lack of support, lack of staffing, lack of funding, and then this repetitive action to go in and repeat and duplicate your inspections and then come out with different answers. Now, that's the corrupt part of it. When you know you're saying that, and then you proclaim, we got the money, I'll pay for the studies. They're our tenant. So anyway, I feel sorry for some of the men and women working as inspectors, because you would think their health and safety would be of primary concern. But in this climate, you don't want them donning on protective suits, and honestly, because if you don on protective suits while you're in the field looking at things, you would trigger some concern in the public, in the community, as to what is happening. So anyway, I've talked extensively about this, but please wash your veggies. Don't say that you're safe because you live on this island. It's on the Big Island and it's on Maui. But this thing is, we don't know, and we don't know what the state has, and we don't know if the young lady that that is deceased from meningitis right there in Ocala. And there are other people that are ill. So please, 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 don't dismiss this. Wash your veggies. Do not touch these things, these slugs. If you see slime or mucus on your fruits or veggies or whatever, wash them, please. And look for the real little dots that are wet-looking. They, too, are just as deadly as the adults. So, anyway, I would encourage you to go to the Hawaii Journal of Medicine and Public Health and just Google longworm disease in Hawaii. Please, please, please do that because I like you listening to me and I don't want you to get sick. And if you get worms in your head, you won't understand what I'm telling you. So anyway, be safe, be good, and we'll talk to you later. CarolCox.com is where you can get it, podcast. Feel free to contact me at 782-6627, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again.